We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I hate when it does that. Welcome into Chasing the Ring. It's been a while since we've done this show. It's been, I think, 3 years since we had a Chasing the Ring. I'm Neil McCready. That, of course, Carson McCready here in the Clark Ford Studios. Watching some NBA tonight on this Monday night. Got Cleveland and Orlando, game two of that series in the East. Already some news in that game. Jalen Suggs of Orlando went down with, I couldn't tell, with his knee, ankle.
Looked like knee.
It wasn't good. It looked like a knee injury. And then I believe we've got Philadelphia trying to even up their series with the New York Knicks a little later. Here in the next few minutes, that's getting started. Denver and Los Angeles, the Lakers play game two of their Western Conference first-round series this evening in Denver. The Nuggets, of course, lead that series 1-0 and look fairly unstoppable at this point. First, I'll tell you that we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. That number, call it. Ask for my friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle. There's no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do, and that is hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. The Campbell Clinic hotline is open as well. If you want to call in and talk to us about anything, we'll talk NBA, we'll talk other stuff. If you want to talk other stuff as well, the Campbell Clinic is in Oxford now, 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102, just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow. Campbell Clinic provides full-service orthopedic care, everything from sports medicine to foot and ankle surgery to spine and total joint care, pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to CampbellClinicOxford.com or call 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Carson, what's up?
What's up? Not much going on, just NBA.
Just NBA.
That's right.
This game, Cleveland's an interesting team to me because the East, there's just this assumption, and I think it's valid, by the way. Mm-hmm. There's just this assumption that Boston's just going to roll through the East and that nobody can beat them. And I generally think that's true.
I think this Cavs team's good, though.
Yeah, the Cavs are good, and they got Donovan Mitchell, and they got some seasoning now in the playoffs. They're a little older. It's like we'll talk about the Thunder Pelicans in a little bit. I thought it was interesting today. There was this reaction to the Thunder about they're not ready, they're not ready. And you're like, well, of course they're not ready. And that's what people said about, you know, Cleveland a little bit, and then they make the move for Mitchell, and suddenly they're kind of ready. And so that's what's interesting. Like Orlando, to me, I hate the Suggs thing because, number one, I just hate injuries. And then, number two, Orlando's just this fun team. Orlando's not ready, right? We're seeing that. Orlando's not ready.
Of course, yeah.
You knew they wouldn't be ready. But they get this playoff experience, and because what you see when you watch a lot of NBA and then you watch the playoffs.
Playoffs is it's just the speed so much different.
Yeah, and the physicality is different. They let them play.
And the young guys aren't used to it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, they play 82 games where, you know, in the regular season, there's some there are some nights that are high intensity, and then there's some nights that are sort of schedule games. You know, you play a team that maybe they were in Denver the night before, and suddenly they're in Oklahoma City, and tonight they're a little out of it. Or you were in Milwaukee one night, and the next night you're in Boston, and you're sitting guys, and people criticize that part of the NBA, but it's not possible for teams to play 82 games full strength, full speed, and then get it's. No way.
It's not, no.
And so they get to the playoffs, and now everybody's locked in. They're scouting one team. They know what's coming. The game gets physical. I think the officials swallow the whistle a little bit.
You notice it a lot.
And so, you know, the games are different. And so for a team like Orlando with Paolo Banchero and Suggs and these young guys, this is kind of their first real taste of it. And so it's going to be sort of interesting to see what they take from this when they get into the offseason.
Yeah.
And then the other game here, Knicks Sixers. Two things that stick out to me. Curious to get your thoughts. One is, holy hell, Jalen Brunson's a stud. Like, nobody talks about Jalen Brunson.
He undeniably is.
Top 10 player.
Oh, yeah, easy.
And then there's
top five this season, yeah.
And there's Joel Embiid. And I got to tell you, you look around, he's got a supporting staff of Tyrese Maxey, Kyle Lowry, Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre Jr. I just kind of wonder if Joel Embiid begins to look around in Philadelphia at the landscape. He's in the East, and he looks out at the East, and he goes, all right, well, Boston's here. They're not going away. Milwaukee's got Giannis. They've got Dame. At least for now, they're a viable contender. We talked about Cleveland. You talk about Orlando coming along. Does he look at it and go, you know, the window in Philadelphia is not very big. Where could I go? And I wonder if he starts to kind of get disgruntled. And he's one of those players that these teams that have lots of capital, Utah, Oklahoma City, Orlando, those kind of teams could trade whatever it took.
They could get him, yeah.
Or does he go, no, I don't want that. I want to go to Los Angeles. I want to go to Houston. I want to go to, and he's a good enough player to go, this is where I want to go, and I'm going to go. And so I'm watching this series because, look, the Knicks are a good team. They're the 2 seed. I'm not taking anything away from them.
Right.
But if the Knicks, without Julius Randle, run Philly out of this series in 4 or 5 games, I wonder if Embiid goes, this doesn't work. This isn't going to work. This is the best years of my career. I got to get out of here.
Get out of, yeah.
So I'm curious to see that part with this game as they get started in Madison Square Garden, which is, if you've never been to Madison Square Garden, you should go. It's a really cool arena to go to a game.
Well, if they win tonight, it's 2-0, and at that point, it's hard to even come back.
Yeah, I mean, you can come back from 2-0, but it's very hard, and that's what I just kind of wonder if he looks at his supporting cast and goes, I don't have enough.
So apart from Tyrese Maxey, there's not much. I mean, Kyle Lowry it's an old Kyle Lowry. There's Tobias Harris. Kelly Oubre's been good.
Yeah, he's solid.
He's had a good year, but
I just wonder if he looks even to some of the teams in the West, like Denver, who obviously is a loaded ball of butcher knives, looks at the Clippers with what they've done, looks at a young Thunder team.
Thunder team who's had success against them.
A Pelicans team with Zion's a different unit. I wonder if he just kind of, Dallas, I wonder if he looks at some of those teams and goes, I want to play on a team like that that's got a legitimate shot at a title.
Yeah. And like you said, I don't think this Philly team has it.
Philly off to a hot start. Maxey hits another 3-6-0 Philly early. Cleveland, by the way, going to the start of the second. The Cavs up 30-18. Hayden Harris in the chat says, let's talk some Premier League at some point. I know it's an NBA watch-along, but I like talking soccer with a few people I know that like it too. You got any big, English Premier League thoughts at this point? I think Chelsea plays Wednesday.
Who cares? They're in 10th. Or 11th. It doesn't matter at this point. Just waiting till next year. I watched your Cole Palmer goals and assists. That's all I care about. I mean, yeah, I think the top three race is interesting. I think it's
Arsenal.
Arsenal, Man City. It's Man City. I think Liverpool's in second. I'll check. To my knowledge, if City wins the rest, Man City's, they've played 32. Arsenal and Liverpool have both played 33, and they're only a point back from both. So it's 74, 74, 73. Goes Arsenal, Liverpool, City. So if City wins the rest of their games, they win the title. That'd be like their fourth straight or something since 2020, maybe.
What makes City so good?
Just incredible coaching, and then.
So the knock on Chelsea is that they're not. It's kind of like it's that they're not spending money. That they have. What was the story I read the other day? It was in the Athletic. Is they have champagne taste on a like a Coca-Cola budget? Like they want to live high on the hog, but they don't want to pay for it. They're not willing to spend to get the kind of players that, you have to have to win.
No, they've
the highest
spent because they've spent like over $1 billion in the past 2 years since Todd Boehly's taken over. But
they just spent poorly.
They've spent very poorly. They've made a few good signings, but they've overpaid for a lot of guys. Like they paid, I think, like 100 million or like 80 million euros for this Ukrainian guy. In my opinion, a political signing because their past owner was a Russian guy.
Yeah.
That's what I think that was about. And he's been good when he plays, but he never plays. Cole Palmer with one of their cheaper signings, like 40 million. He's been great.
Yeah. I mean, Palmer's phenomenal.
Well, he's incredible. Yeah. But apart from him, it's, I mean, at least. Over 3/4 of their signings have been pretty disappointing, in my opinion. And yeah, you look at City, and they have not. I mean, they don't really need to anymore because the talent they have is unreal, all the experience. But they don't spend very much anymore. I mean, they dropped the bag on Haaland a few years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But apart from that, no, they really don't spend much. But, I mean, Pep's one of the best coaches of all time, and then just a ton of experience. It's kind of all you need.
I mentioned some of the other series. There's obviously these two that are playing out in front of us right now. Cleveland with a 9-point lead over Orlando, and Philly with a 8-point lead early going, very early going in New York against the Knicks. The other series tonight, I told you, Lakers and Nuggets play tonight at 9. The Lakers down 1-0. You and I both watched some Saturday night of that game one. Denver didn't play a very good first half. The Lakers probably played about as well as they could have in the first half. And then suddenly Denver just blew them out.
Yeah.
And I was saying on the Blue Sky Live Oxford Exxon podcast Monday morning, I don't know about you, but we didn't talk about this. I watched that and kind of thought, I wonder what this is like for LeBron James. An all-time great. I mean, his resume it's impeccable as a basketball player. He's won titles in what, three places now?
Yep. Yeah, three titles. Or three.
Five titles. Yeah, five titles, three places. I mean, he's an incredible player. He's Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, that genre of player. And yet, on Saturday night, he was not the best player on the floor.
No.
There was nothing really that he could do to carry his team once Denver got going. I just kind of wonder what that was like for him to look out there and go, this might be hopeless against Denver, because I think it is hopeless as long as Nikola Jokic is on the floor.
Playing the way he does, yeah.
You know, he's right now, Nikola Jokic, I think, is the best player in the game.
I think so.
And, you know, the Lakers probably staring at the end here. And LeBron getting to be 40 and father time's pretty undefeated, as my knee has learned the hard way. I just kind of wonder what must be going through his mind right now about what's left of his basketball future. He's another guy, you can stay in Los Angeles and finish it out. Maybe they draft Bronny and bring him in and they can play together for a year. And I'm not criticizing that. I totally understand the desire for that.
Of course, yeah.
But you do wonder if maybe he tries to latch on someplace for a year and be a part of something.
Yeah. He's what?
He'll 30. Basically be 40. I think he's 39 right now. So he'll be 40.
And he's been in the league since 2003.
Yeah, the guy's had an incredible career.
Of course, but he's played over 20 seasons at this point, and you can tell. I mean, of course he's LeBron James, so he'll be great, but like you said, playoff speed is just so much more different. And despite all of his experience, I still just – it's not even just Jokic. It's that supporting cast they have. I mean,
Murray.
Yeah, Jamal Murray. Yeah.
Porter.
Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, they bring Brown off the bench. They just
– They're deep. KCP, they're good. Yeah,
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who – I'm watching this offseason kind of curious.
Wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it at all. They're really, really good. And Denver plays. They've been together for a long time. They've added the right kind of pieces. They can shoot it. They play it. They can play at pace. Where they're really different the last 2 years is that in their minutes when Jokic is off the floor, they're okay.
Yeah.
They used to just crater when Jokic left the floor. And now, when Jokic is off the floor, they're still a very good team. And when Jokic is on the floor, they're probably the best team in the NBA.
The best team in the league, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
The other series, game two, is tomorrow at 6:30. It's the Phoenix Suns, Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves really put it to the Suns in game one in Minneapolis. Game two, back in Minneapolis tomorrow at 6:30. It's kind of an indictment game for the Suns. If they're going to make noise in this playoffs, they don't need to fall down 2-0 to Minnesota. They got to figure out a way to win one of those games. And I don't know, man. I mean, Minnesota plays really good basketball. They're one of those teams that I think defies like the people who criticize the NBA for the, oh, nobody plays defense. Minnesota plays a lot of defense.
They do.
And when they get to get locked in on a series, they're pretty keyed in on people. And then Phoenix has no depth. It's KD and Bradley Beal and Devin Booker, and then just like some guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, all of those guys in a given game can go win a game. I mean, KD still has the ability to be the best player on the floor any night.
Of course.
And Booker too, and to some extent Bradley Beal. But can they win a 7-game series?
Also, they haven't been
Minnesota together.
They haven't been together for
at all. Hardly at all. Any. And they didn't play a whole lot together this year.
Even Durant and Booker have been together for this is their second season together.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. But you know, there's just been so many injuries and all that kind of thing.
And like you said, the depth is incredibly poor on that team. I think Minnesota takes it if they win tonight or tomorrow night.
Another game tomorrow night in at 7:30 in Milwaukee. It's the Bucks playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo. They go up against the Indiana Pacers. They lead that series 1-0. Damian Lillard was phenomenal in the first half yesterday. I don't know. You were out. I don't know how much of that you saw, but he was great in the first half, and then they kind of locked down defensively in the second half, held off a couple of Indiana runs, and won the game. This is a series. I could be wrong, but I kind of think Indiana makes this a series with Giannis out, but maybe not.
Maybe they do. I mean, playoff Dame is incredible, and Halliburton's never been in the playoffs, has he? Maybe last year he was.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
But nothing insane. I mean, I still think it's Bucks in 5 or 6. How long is Giannis out?
Probably for the series.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, that changes things.
Although they look terrific without him.
They do.
I mean, they really.
Dame is incredible. And
you know, if you're them, you don't want him to come back until he has to. And
no reason to.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let's see. What's the other one? Another game tomorrow night, game two in Los Angeles. It's the Clippers looking to go up 2-0 against the Dallas Mavericks. This was a game that, to me, yesterday, it was a mid-afternoon game. We had it on outside. Your mom had me planting and planting and planting, and I had this on. And I kept waiting for Dallas to make the run and to play like the team that they looked like in the second half of the season, and they didn't. And then you factor in, and someone said this in the stream, you factor in the fact that Kawhi Leonard didn't play, and he's going to come back. I guess I had a couple of thoughts on it. One was, that's not good news for Dallas. And then two, it was kind of fun, I'm sure it would have been for you too, to watch Russell Westbrook play as well as he played.
Yeah.
You know, just
Well, the quality you got from him and Zubac was insane.
Yeah, Zubac was amazing.
They combined for 33. And then they played eight guys. Yep. They were really efficient, shot really well. They shot, like, I think it was 50% from three. They shot, like, just a little bit over 40 from field or from the field. Then you compare that to Dallas, they were shooting in the 30s from three.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the stats, it was strictly Luka and Kyrie that combined for like 40 or 64, something like that.
Yeah.
Look at everybody else other than PJ Washington. It's like below 10, maybe 3-4 points.
I don't like their supporting
cast. I don't think they're good.
I mean,
I've said it all year to you. I don't think they're doing anything.
No, you've said it all year consistently. Luka's so good and Kyrie's so good that on a given day, they can go beat you.
But in a series
where
games,
people are going to lock in and try to go, okay, because you know what's coming. The Clippers are going to say, all right, which one of these guys do we think we can kind of slow down?
Yep.
And maybe it's Kyrie, right? And they just let Luka go off or vice versa. But if other people aren't going to make you pay for that, you're not going to win when Kawhi Leonard's back on the court.
Right.
On a team that also features
Paul George,
who I still, to this moment, is one of the most underrated players in the history of the league.
Of course.
All right, so that series resumes tomorrow. On Wednesday, it's the Heat and Boston.
I think it's done. I mean, I think it was already done, but I think now that Jimmy's hurt, I think there's zero shot anything happens.
Yeah. Boston, to me, if we're headed for Boston versus Denver again, it's going to be one hell of a series. I mean, the Boston's better team than they were a year ago. Porzingis has changed their team in dramatic ways, the way that they use him. They're just a better club than they were a year ago. And look, they learned some lessons last season.
Yep.
And that's part of the lesson of the playoffs, which ventures into this. The other Wednesday game, the final series, game two in Oklahoma City, the Thunder up 1-0 after a 94-92 win over New Orleans last night. Be interesting to see the two adjustments there. The Thunder, I think, A, they've got to rebound the ball better. They've got to have a better plan for Valanciunas, and then
they've got to shoot the ball.
Yeah,
you've got to make shots.
Got to make shots, but assuming that they make shots, I'm curious to see what New Orleans does, because look, New Orleans has got to get more out of Brandon Ingram, and it was the part of that game.
And McCollum.
It was the part of that game that nobody really talked about last night. Was Lu Dort shut Brandon Ingram down?
And
then, there were moments, including the end, when Cason Wallace, who's sort of another Lu Dort. When Cason Wallace locked up C.J. McCollum and forced bad shots.
Yep.
And that was, to me, the Thunder won the game defensively because they were bad offensively compared to what they normally are. They did not shoot the ball well at all until the end when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander
went on that run,
made big plays.
Yeah. Might be a tech or a flagrant over here.
In Philadelphia?
On Embiid, yeah.
Essentially
trucked Josh Hart. You'll see it again.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. 1.8 seconds left. Oh, damn.
Yeah. I don't like him.
I couldn't tell if that was intentional or not from that angle. I couldn't tell whether he intentionally raised like a forearm to hit him or not.
It's Embiid.
Oh, see, I don't think that was intentional.
Maybe not. I just don't like the guy.
Josh Hart was on Peloton the other day.
Was he?
He was a guest instructor on Peloton.
How about that? He's also a Chelsea fan.
Josh Hart?
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter.
He apparently, during his time at Villanova, was a bully. Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson hated him.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. They were freshmen when he was a junior, when they won a title.
Oh, okay.
And they despised him, said he was just a bully. And he apparently has admitted that he was kind of a bully.
Yeah.
Triple Mask agrees with you. He says he's just a chump.
I just don't like him. Never have.
Would you like him if he were a Thunder?
It's debatable.
He'd fall in love with him.
I think I'd love him.
You'd have his jersey within a week.
I'd have it on.
Come on.
Well, you sent me that Durant stuff, and I thought the same thing to myself.
All right, so let's talk about that while we have a minute.
Fun.
Kevin Durant comes out with a new ad today, and it was fascinating because if you just watched it, you wouldn't think it was a Kevin Durant ad. You would have thought it was a Chet Holmgren ad.
Yep.
In it, they show this Oklahoma City skyline, and Kevin Durant says, "So you think you can put a whole city on your shoulders?" Which sort of implied back in the day, I put that city on my shoulders.
I agree. I thought the same thing.
Chet Holmgren says, "Yeah, I can do it." And it all becomes this Chet Holmgren thing about being a rookie and whatever. And
it feels kind of cryptic. That's what I thought. I feel like he's been hinting at the OKC stuff for years now. Like on the podcast, you'll hear it. I don't know.
He's gotten sentimental, Durant has, about his time there. And he's a big Sam Presti guy, and he really admires what the Thunder have done. They've built this really... I mean, the Thunder went 11 deep last night in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think over the course of a series against a Dallas, for example... I'm not assuming a series win over New Orleans, but look, if New Orleans doesn't get Zion back, it's going to be really hard for them to win 4 out of 6 games against the Thunder.
Agreed.
It's going to be hard. So in a hypothetical world where the Thunder go up against Dallas or the Clippers, that depth is going to be a factor. The Thunder play a bunch of guys, and they can do it in different ways. And I think Durant looks at that, and I don't know.
Kind of likes it. Back in 15-16, they couldn't.
Yeah.
They couldn't do that.
He makes that comment sometimes. I wish they had surrounded me with those kinds of players. And it's valid.
It's fair.
It's valid.
There were no shooters on that team.
Well, the one year that they had a shooter was Kevin Martin, and that was the year that Russell Westbrook got hurt.
Yep. Yeah.
That was the year that, frankly, the Thunder were probably going to go win it.
Probably going to go win it, yeah.
That was your grandmother, my mom, letting her know that we're podcasting. Making sure everything's okay. Yeah, I think the Thunder were going to win it that year, and then Russell got hurt, and then obviously they weren't going to do it without Russell.
No.
And they lost to Memphis in 5 games. I think the Thunder won game 1 and then lost 4 in a row. And that was a really – it shows you, man, the bottom line is how hard it is to win a title. Like, that Memphis team was together for a long time, and they were terrific. All right, Philly up 22-13 late in the first. Cleveland up a pretty commanding 15-point lead over Orlando midway through the second, 46-31.
Yeah, back to that, though. I do think that's just odd because, I mean, I don't know. I think part of it's just he endorses Chet a ton because, I mean, he backs Chet a ton. Chet's like one of the big guys that wears his shoe.
Yep. And Chet's very... Among NBA guys,
very well liked.
Chet is really well liked, and a lot of people think Chet's going to be a superstar.
Mm.
And Chet made some big plays last night. Now, he got pushed around some,
of course,
but that block with 50 seconds block, left, yeah, was huge.
Huge statement block. Yeah.
Someone wants to know, what Thunder jerseys do you have?
I've got a blue J-Dub one, a blue Shea one, and then that navy orange.
The city edition.
The city Chet or Chet jersey. So those three. I used to have an Ibaka Christmas jersey.
You had an Ibaka.
I love that jersey.
You had Russell.
I had Russell. I still do.
You had Durant.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that jersey. Probably trash or I burned it. You were the mannequin I had. I beat it up the day he got traded.
You cut its head off.
Yeah, I beat it up, yeah.
It's on July the 4th, the day that he announced
I was so
leaving.
Mad. I got out of the pool, dried off.
I was out running, and I heard the news, and I was like, I need to get home. That was bad.
It was really bad. What was your reaction while you were running?
Stunned, I think. I think I had convinced myself that he was going to stay. Mm-hmm. There had been some speculation that he was staying. A couple people that I listened to, though, were kind of cryptic about it. Doesn't look good. Like, they didn't There was a story that came out like February of that season, and I want to say it was written by Adrian Wojnarowski. It may have been Shams. Somebody wrote it about he's chummy with the Warriors guys, and he likes the and his people like the idea of the Bay Area and all of that. But then when they played Golden State and lost to Golden State in seven, I thought there's no way he's going to go join them.
The team
now.
That just came back 3-1 against him.
Yeah, I thought no and, way. Like I thought at the time Boston was a threat. I even thought San Antonio was a threat because he really liked Pop.
I also thought about Washington because, I mean, that was home.
Yeah, everybody said that was out.
Like, was it?
Okay. Yeah, there was this. Well, there were these all these people that thought he would go there just because it was home. But then you'd hear these reports like, no, every time he goes home, he can't. Every time he plays in Washington, he basically has to hide because the whole world wants tickets. It's too distracting.
Oh,
it would okay. be like that all the time. And so I really thought he was going to come back to Oklahoma City on a short contract.
Try to win one and then leave.
Or maybe even do the demand thing where, hey, I'll come back and play, but you got to move Russell.
Move Russ, get me some pieces.
I thought maybe that would happen.
And they would have done it.
Oh, I think they would have done it.
Because he was the best player or second best player in the league, whatever you want to call it. He was top three for sure. And so,
you know, it was the funny part of the whole, the Harden trade happens and he was upset about it, but they were better and they were the best team in the league. And then Russell got hurt. And then after that, the next season, they beat the Clippers in the Western Conference semifinals. But in game six, where they clinched it, Ibaka hurt his hamstring real bad.
Yep.
Missed two games. And so they ended up losing to the Spurs in six games in overtime. And then Durant got hurt the next year, basically missed the whole year. So it was just never in the cards.
No.
So you do wonder, does he look back on it and go, maybe I shouldn't have left?
I have a bit of regret. And he probably does. Also, it's kind of, it's hurt his image a lot. And now less and less teams want him. And then also you look at what he's done since he left Golden State. And also the fact Golden State won without him.
To me, that's twice. To me, that's the big
because one, they won before he was there.
Yep.
Beat the Cavs, and then
won without him.
They won without him. They lost,
which was the indictment of him, which is unfair because on those teams when they won back to back, he was the best player on their team.
He was the Finals MVP, but still, Steph did it on his own.
Triple Mass wants to know what are our thoughts on Maxey.
He's really good. I think he'll win Most Improved Player.
Yeah, I do too.
I would think he's been really good. He's been really good the past 2-3 years, but this year's been crazy.
He's really good. They have a good team. I just don't know that they have a deep enough team. You know, I mean, I thought coming into this season they would be better, and then Embiid got hurt, missed a lot of time. And I think he's unquestionably a top five player, maybe a top two, maybe a top three player. God, he airballed the hell out of that. 25-18 final minute of the first quarter at Madison Square. Again, phone lines are open. If anybody wants to call in, 662-426-1464. I'm hoping I've got it where it works. You just never completely know with my lack of technological mastery.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I think I'm good. The Thunder, they'd even want Durant back. Don't you kind of, I mean.
It's Kevin Durant. I mean.
I don't trade.
I'm not trading.
I don't trade assets for
him. No, I don't trade valuable assets. But I mean, if he wants to come back on like a reasonably priced contract for like 2 years, I'd say yes.
Not sure what happened. Hey, caller, who's this? Hey, caller, who's this? All right, whoever it was, I lost him.
They can call back.
They'll call back. This thing, call back if you would, caller. I'll call you even. But
just let them call back.
Yeah. This thing's so weird. It's one of the things I'm gonna update a little bit before football, and this is the first thing I'm gonna update is some sort of a calling system.
Yeah,
this works, but it requires a couple of buttons, and if you don't hit them exactly right,
turn that iPad the other way. It might make it easier. Yep. That might make it easier.
That might. That was part of the problem just then.
But I mean, yeah, it's Kevin Durant. So, I mean. Of course, I'm not trading like Dub, Chet, Shea. I'm not trading anybody valuable, but I mean, if it was like, say, I don't know, one either like, obviously the money wouldn't work, Giddy something and like 3-4 first, sure. Even then, I'm still kind of hesitant, but if it's free agency, he's like, hey, I'll come back for 2 years on a relatively reasonable contract, sure. Yeah,
at the end
after they've realized, okay, we just kind of need a little bit more, but I don't think they need it, and so they won't do it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And also, I wonder if he even has the guts to come back. You know,
I'm gonna guess
I'd lean towards no.
We're gonna see if we can. I'm gonna call this person back and we'll see if they answer. I always feel bad when I'm the one that screws up the call.
Yeah, we'll see. There you go.
Hey, this was my fault. I hit the wrong button. Welcome into the show. Who's this?
This is Rob from Dallas. How are you?
Hey, we're good. How are you?
We are well, thank you. Sort of had a quick question for Carson, as he's developed into being a fan of soccer and enjoying the game. Just wanted to understand a bit more how he got into liking the sport. You know, as a kid, I grew up playing and, you know, sort of matriculated to basketball, football, graduated high school in 2006. But what got him into, you know, choosing to play soccer?
So, I mean, it was kind of that thing when I was young that my parents, I guess they just wanted to get me out of the house. And they let me play rec everything. What age did I start?
I mean, you started playing rec ball when you were like 5 or 6 years old.
And I played baseball. I played basketball. I'm surprised I didn't play like flag football. They may not have They may not have had that back then. But
I'm not sure if they had it or not, or we just didn't have time. But we signed you up for basically
everything. Baseball, soccer, basketball. I remember playing those three. Yeah. And I was fine at basketball. I liked it, but I was kind of small. Wasn't very quick. I don't know. I just wasn't very good. Couldn't really shoot. Baseball, I liked it. It was fun, but I couldn't hit. At that age, it was just kind of whatever, but it wasn't that fun. And then soccer, it was just naturally kind of easy. I just happened to be very good at it. When I was young, like, I remember the rec games. I'd be really good. I'd score multiple times a game.
And yeah, you'd score 5, 6, 7 goals a game. It was almost to the point where we were like, stop scoring, let some other kid score.
I just didn't really know. I didn't watch much. I think at most I'd maybe played FIFA a few times. That was really it. And then somebody told you to get me into club, and I did. And I was good at it.
Yeah, your youth coach came up to us. He was a big soccer guy. We didn't know anything.
Will Goldman's dad?
I think so.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything about soccer. I never played, and I didn't really understand it. And he's like, hey, he's really good. He doesn't need to be out here. He needs to go play more organized, higher level. And I was like, well, where's that? And they had started a club here in Oxford, and so we switched to that, and he started playing. I was like 8, 9 years old, he started playing club.
Yeah. I mean, I've just played since.
Did you find that the FIFA video games kind of helped you follow the Premier League teams in Europe more because you could play the video games, know the players?
Honestly, yeah. You know, that was part of it. I mean, I don't know if you know what Ultimate Team was, but I always played that. Like, I think the first FIFA I got was FIFA 14. And I played it 15, 16, 17, 18. I played those a ton. It was like all I'd play. And yeah, I mean, I loved Eden Hazard. And that was kind of where that started.
With Chelsea?
Chelsea, yeah. Loved playing with him. Then I watched him for the first time, and I loved watching him play. That's why I'm still a Chelsea fan, only because of him. He's gone now. He's retired. But yeah.
You're the same way. I started following Man United, not because of who they were as a club, but because they had a number 7 on the right wing, Cristiano Ronaldo, who obviously left to go to Madrid like Eden Hazard did. And I thought about, can I stay with this team or do I follow the player? And I stuck with the team. And,
right.
You know, it's been rough the last decade or so. Yeah. But, you know, you stick with the club.
Gotta be loyal. Yeah. It's not great now. Not great now.
You know, it's wild now. No, like, because how old are you, Carl? You sound like you're probably in your 20s.
I'm 36.
All right, 36. See, it's what's crazy is that when I was a kid, so I'm 18 years older than you. When I was a kid, you just didn't know anything about English Premier League. All you really knew about soccer was Pele, honestly. You didn't even know about the World Cup. That just wasn't really a thing. It wasn't on the radar because you couldn't see it. And now it's wild to watch.
You can watch every league.
Like I was in here the other day and I had yesterday?
Yeah, Bundesliga.
I had Bundesliga on and English Premier League. And I'm watching these games live in Europe and I'm thinking, this is what, you know, kids can do this. They can stream. If you have YouTube or Fubo and then if you have Peacock or whatever, you can pretty much watch whoever. I mean, if you want to watch Luton Town every game, you basically can. And that's such a total game changer. It's
when you can watch the Champions League, the Europa League, you can watch everything.
Yeah, it's why in America all these SEC schools have these huge followings with college football, is because now if you want to watch Ole Miss every game, if you want to watch Auburn every game or Florida or whatever, South Carolina, you literally can watch
subscription away.
You can watch, I guess you can watch all but, in the way the schedule's set up now, you can watch all but one game or maybe all games. They're all on TV. And I guess even the games that aren't on TV, like every SEC team plays one just total junk game that's not on TV.
Yeah.
But that's on SEC Network Plus, so you can stream it. So if you live in Oregon and you want to watch Ole Miss, you can watch every Ole Miss game. So of course those teams have massive followings, and now you have that in America with English Premier League teams primarily, but Bundesliga and Even the Italian league, it's on all the time. I mean, to me, that's just wild to watch how everything's grown.
Oh, it's great. It's everything's at your fingertips. I mean, I can remember my freshman year at Ole Miss, nearly like this. I was a walk on under Ed Orgeron for his last 2 years there. But I can remember my last 2 years having to stream basically off the internet, Man United games, just going to websites and trying to find the games and watch them on my computer, you know, at delayed. And now everything, like you said, you can basically watch on Peacock, Paramount Plus, any league you can watch. I think it's really growing the game, and I think it's great.
Yeah, and so for young people, Carson's age and younger, that are into the games, it's just so much easier for them to follow and then kind of learn how to play. And because you see those guys play at the very highest level, and I think it's a personally, and I'm not one of these people, oh, soccer's going to grow. I mean, it's clearly growing. I mean, I was watching an MLS game yesterday for a little while, and I can't remember where it was, but the place was packed.
And it looks a lot better. The quality of play is a lot better.
It's a lot better.
It's not great, but it's still.
I think there's the build up to the World Cup in 26, and then the World Cup and post World Cup. I think soccer's going to really boom in America. I think it's sort of inevitable, especially if the American team can be as competitive as it was the last time, and maybe even just a little bit more.
I'm hoping they can make it to the quarters. They lost in the Netherlands round of 16. It was kind of they had one really good chance. Christian Pulisic hit the crossbar
at the very beginning.
Early, that could have been had that gone in, it would have been different, I think.
But can you imagine? I don't know where. Like, let's say it's Atlanta for the hell of it.
Yeah,
the U.S. versus the Netherlands in a World Cup quarterfinal in Atlanta. I mean, that place will be absolutely insane. That'll be that, and I just, the country will be captivated because that's how we are. We love brackets and we love tournaments, and you get a tournament that the American team is playing playing and hosting in a World Cup quarterfinal or something. That would be just
insane,
remarkable theater in our country.
Yeah, and it's so interesting too because I grew up a big Astros fan, grew up in Houston, Rockets, Astros, and I graduated high school in 2006, which was the year previous fall the Astros had lost to the White Sox in the World Series, and going off to college at Ole Miss, kind of fell in tune with them, which kind of led me into just following soccer so much more because the Astros from that time on, up until obviously recent, were not very good. And so I just sort of switched my following of sport. It's so hard to follow so many teams, you know, that you can, right? And
sure.
I just picked up the love for soccer in the game. Just been the same. I mean, I don't miss a Man United game ever, you know.
I've gotten into it just because of Carson, watching his team and stuff, and just kind of watching his game develop and some of his buddies, their games develop over the years, you know, on his high school team. And, I get it. I mean, and now I'll be in here just by myself on a work day or whatever. Like, I'll turn soccer on. And then on Saturdays in the fall, you know, if Ole Miss isn't playing till 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever in the morning, I'll turn on English Premier League in the fall on Saturdays. And it's just kind of a fun way to start the day. And I kind of follow different teams, not nearly as closely as you guys probably, but you know, I mean, it's interesting, and you can see it now. You can see it live, and that's a total game changer.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. It's a great way to start the fall weekends. You know, Premier League in the morning, then roll into college football, and
absolutely. And then on Sunday when the Premier League's in the morning, yeah, same thing.
Oh yeah, then you get NFL rolling into it. It's fantastic. Well, Neil, Carson, appreciate you guys' time. Enjoy the work, and y'all have a great rest of the night.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. You ever wish you'd just been a little taller and you could have played basketball instead? Or are you glad it worked out the way it did?
Nah, I wouldn't have played.
Yeah.
I really don't think I would have played. I would have been good, but even then, still.
Yeah, you made an AAU team. I was still stunned. It's still to this day when you called and you were like, I made that team. And
I don't know how. I was like, how? I think she liked me and that was why.
Someone who was there said you made a bunch of shots that day. And I was like, really? And they were like, yeah, you made one or two shots that apparently were like really caught her eye.
There you go. And she literally never gave me any attention.
Isn't that wild?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, the kids that made it, they were probably 30 kids. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
And I mean, like, I remember that first practice, it was just like, you'd have to do really good to impress. And I remember that we did that little scrimmage game at Regent School.
I remember that.
I literally got in for a minute.
Yeah.
They'd shuffle the lineups up. The good players would play, I don't know, 10
I remember
minutes.
That being dysfunctional.
I was like, what
I
is
was
going
watched,
on?
I watched that and was like, oh, I don't know.
I was just laughing with one of my friends on the bench. I was like, I don't yeah. know what this is.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to go home. I want to go home. It's so boring. I was ready to get on the game or hang out with friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I broke a sweat.
Yeah.
I played good defense on one possession and I was done. That was my game. I played one defensive possession. Ball goes out on offense. We're done. But yeah, I mean, I was solid. I understood the game. I was willing to take a charge. I can do stuff.
You were going to be a role player at best.
I would have been a role player. I wasn't going to be this guy who'd score 20 points a game.
Of course I've not. Told you the story. I at the time you were trying to decide what you were going to do, and you were trying out for both, and it was nearing the end of tryouts, and you'd made the first series of cuts, and I never watched practice, ever. I've never been that parent. And that day, for some reason, you were at soccer practice, and I watched. Or you were at a tryout, or you were doing something. I can't remember.
I think it was a flood practice, I think.
Yeah, maybe it was a flood practice. I think it was.
Last field, FNC, I think it's what it was.
It was a flood practice, and I was watching your practice, and I remember calling your mom and going, we may be making a mistake. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, just even letting him think about the basketball thing, it might be a mistake.
Yeah.
And she was like, why? And I was like, he's good at soccer. Like, I don't know that he's ever going to be that good at basketball. And he's good at soccer, like really good. And then sure enough, it kind of worked out. I can remember the night you got cut.
I was kind of happy, honestly. I don't think I like was upset.
No, I can remember relief kind of came over me like, oh, thank God.
I remember Jeremiah told me that he got cut too, and Coach Tyler invited us. He said he was going to invite us to the summer workouts. Yeah.
It didn't matter.
I didn't care. Soccer was good. I knew I was going to be good at that.
Yeah. And it's worked out great.
It's worked out pretty good.
Yeah, it's worked out great.
So, yeah. I was not going to be a captain or anything substantial on the basketball team. Like, even my senior year, I was convinced I was going to sit on a bench, seventh man or something.
It's hard to get on the floor. You didn't know how much you'd grow or whatever. Cleveland leads Orlando 58-44 halftime. I haven't seen a Jalen Suggs update. Let's see if I can find one. I'm a little worried about Suggs. It did not look good. You hate to see injuries. You just hate to see them.
Yep.
Especially just anybody, but especially young players. And watching a replay of it. Actually, I don't see it. Oh, I couldn't tell what it looked like. Not good. It was some sort of obviously a knee. I'm looking for, they're calling it a knee sprain right now. That's usually not a good sign.
Not a good sign. Probably worse.
They'll do imaging and hopefully it's.
Hopefully it's not that bad.
Hopefully it's not bad. Maybe he just.
Just sprained it.
Maybe he just tweaked it.
Yeah.
He had to be helped off the court though. And that's typically not a good sign. But they are calling it a strain for right now.
Yeah.
Questionable to return, according to the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic's update as of 20 minutes ago, Jalen Suggs has been diagnosed with a left knee strain and is questionable to return to tonight's game 2 at Cleveland. Well, it might be a good sign.
Maybe.
So which series, other than Thunder, because I know the Thunder series is the one you're most interested in, which series has your attention? Which?
That's a good question. Probably Clippers, Mavs. I mean, partially because that's who we're going to play, but...
Right.
I mean, it's Russ. He's my favorite player of all time. I'm happy to see him doing well. I hope they win. Actually, I hope they don't win. Hope they lose the series. But point being, I mean, I don't know. I just...
The wildness of a Clippers-Thunder Western Conference semifinal.
That'd be crazy.
With Russell Westbrook on the floor in OKC. Would just be wild.
Well, it's funny. They'd probably...
And James Harden would be there, too. Now, nobody loves Harden the way they love Westbrook.
Also, George would be there.
Yeah, PG would be there.
People like Paul George. Yeah. He was good for us. Yeah. But Russ would be in... It'd be kind of weird. It'd feel weird seeing Russ playing against OKC in the playoffs. Something you never think you'd ever see.
All right, Embiid loses his cool.
Part 35. I hate him so much.
Philadelphia up 10, and something happened just then.
I don't know how he doesn't get teed up there.
Yeah, Embiid did get teed up right there.
There you go. Good.
Gets teed up.
Tee up Nurse, too. Get him out. I hate him so much.
Joel Embiid?
He's one of my least favorite players ever.
I did not know this.
No?
No, I did not know that you hated Embiid.
I despise Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah. That's a tee. That's stupid. He pushed Dante DiVincenzo. So you're giving them points.
He's just so theatric, and he's like so provocative.
Yeah, that was totally unnecessary.
He's so provocative. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched. And he also like whines to the media a ton, and acts like he's like a victim of everything. Like, you know, Vinicius Jr. on Real Madrid.
I don't.
Okay, well, he's this Brazilian player for them, and he's this black guy, and he's incredible. He's like one of the best players on their team, if not the best player, but. Obviously, Spanish soccer, the fans are very passionate to the point that racism does not escape their minds. Yeah. So that's a big thing there. And obviously, Real Madrid is filled. Their starting 11 is mostly African-American guys. And yeah. And so he gets a ton of racial abuse. And instead of just not really listening to it, or then they wouldn't do as much, he like... takes it really deep. Like, he's cried in an interview before. And like, I talked to all my friends about it, all the Barca fans. They're like, look, like, I get it. But at some point, it's just like you're kind of doing too much. It's a little bit provocative. I don't know. That's what Joel Embiid feels like to me. He's just he's whiny. Everybody's against him in his eyes. I just don't like him. Then he flops a ton. Like that game, the Thunder lost to the 76ers, that kind of did it for me.
Yeah.
That game pissed me off. That was an awful call, only because he like flung his arms. I don't know. And I don't think he's as good as you say he is. I don't think he's top five.
Huh.
I don't think. He's good. Yeah. He's probably top 10. I wouldn't say top five, though.
Ben wants to know, do you know Grayson Alexander? He led New Albany in scoring as a freshman.
I've heard the name. I've got some friends at New Albany. Abraham Tenagero, Alex Tenagero, Hector Marcial. I'm friends with those three. I've heard the name because like I've looked at like Max Prep for stats and stuff, and I think I've seen him on there somewhere.
You'll play for the New Albany coach in the All-Star game in Brandon, right, in July?
Yeah, that's who it is. He's a nice guy. I like him. But, yeah. Heard the name. I've never seen him before. I won't get to play him ever. We're not gonna ever play New Albany.
Are they like 4A?
It's 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Bulldogs. They're maroon. But yeah, they're a good program, really good program. Lost to Bay High and State. I was hoping they'd win. Yeah. But yeah, I like their team. A lot of nice guys.
See, one of the questions was, it was about the Thunder. I didn't dream this. It was about the Thunder's draft capital. Yeah. what first round picks do the Thunder have this year? So I pulled it up. The Thunder only have, they have,
it's just Houston's.
Yeah, this year they have, technically they have four picks this year. They have their first round pick, the Clippers' first round pick, Houston's top four protected first round pick, and they have Utah's top 10 protected first round pick, but Utah's going to draft in the top 10, so that pick doesn't convey. Houston's will almost certainly convey, and it'll end up being the 12th pick in the draft.
Yep. Every tankathon, it's been 12. It's never risen for me.
In 2025, they have their first-round pick. They have Houston or the Clippers' first-round pick, whichever one's better. They have Miami's lottery-protected first-round pick. Philadelphia's top six protected first-round pick.
So probably another pick.
And then they have a couple of seconds.
So we had another second. We had another pick this year. We traded it, right? Another first this year. We traded the first for this year, right?
Yeah. Or from this year. They swapped it for somebody.
Was it Biombo?
No. Wasn't in the Biombo deal.
Okay. I don't know.
They didn't give up anything in that. And then 2026, they have their pick. 2027, they have Thunder's pick, Denver's top five protected first round pick. They have the rights to swap with the Clippers. So if the Clippers are bad and the Thunder are good, the Thunder get the Clippers pick.
Yeah.
And they have a couple of seconds. And then they have in 2028 their first round pick, swap with Dallas, which could be the end of the Luka era, and some seconds.
That's crazy. Yeah.
In 2029, they have their first round pick, Denver's top five first round pick. And then six second-round picks. I mean, they just have a ton of assets. They can kind of do anything.
And also, by then, they're going to have some experience in the playoffs. And I think by then, they're a contender for sure.
Yeah,
I think right now we're a debatable contender. But I think by next season and definitely in 2 years, we're a contender, full-fledged.
Josh says, when do you think OKC will cash in those on another All-Star?
I don't even know if it's an All-Star. It's just weird. They have so much already.
Here's my guess. I think they're going to spend their salary cap capital this year in the offseason to re-sign Isaiah Joe. I think they're going to re-sign
Aaron Wiggins. You have to.
And then I think they'll draft with the 12th pick in the draft. They'll draft somebody that
can play a big.
And then I think they're going to run it back one more year.
You don't think they get some role players?
Some
vets, a few vets like KCP.
Somebody else.
That makes sense.
I mean,
because what if they make it to the second round this year?
Then you're really cashing in. And I don't know. My gut feeling is that they run it back another season. Mm-hmm. And maybe even at the trade deadline next year do something big. But I don't think, even though last night Giddy was a non-factor,
yeah,
I don't think they're completely ready to get away from that. Because in the second half of the season, Josh Giddy was okay.
He was good, and he won us some games.
You have three dudes on that team. Shea, Jalen Williams, Chet.
Yeah.
And then you have an elite defender in Lu Dort.
Another elite defender in Cason Wallace.
And then you have Isaiah Joe and
Aaron Wiggins.
There's only so many.
Jay Will. You've got.
Like, people did the Lauri Markkanen thing. And I told you this at the time when everybody was talking about Lauri Markkanen. I said, okay, well, here's the problem when you add Lauri Markkanen with a young team. Mm-hmm. Lauri Markkanen's going to get 20-something shots a game. That's who he is. He's a great player. So when you add Lauri Markkanen, whose shots
is he taking?
Is he taking? So you know he's taking Giddy's. That's fine.
But also gets kind of disruptive, too.
But do you want him to take shots away from Jalen Williams right now at this stage of his career? Do you want him to take shots away from Chet Holmgren at this stage of his career?
That takes away from his potential.
Takes away from their development.
And it also makes him disgruntled. You don't want to risk that.
We do a lot of this with college football, and it's legit. We do a lot of this with college basketball, and it's legit. Culture, chemistry, those things matter. And when you mess with it, it's not guaranteed that it's going to work.
No. It'll look good on paper, but...
Yeah, and the best teams on paper don't always win.
No. Look at the Nets.
In fact, they frequently don't.
Look at the Nets from 20, whatever that was, 22.
It's why I've loved Lane Kiffin's answer to this numerous times when he's been asked about his team. He says, look, we have a great roster. We have a really good roster. But I don't know what kind of a team we have yet. And people go, that's coach speak. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's a legitimate answer. It's his way of saying you cannot sacrifice culture and chemistry just for talent. Yes, talent's vital, right?
Of course.
You have to have great players, but you have to have buy-in. You have to have guys that are willing to
take a role,
to sacrifice. And Josh Giddey, to his credit, has done that this year, because Josh Giddey could go to a bad NBA team, play the point,
score 20 points a game,
and put up all-star numbers.
Yeah. But he doesn't.
And he doesn't seem to complain. He seems to try to kind of figure out his role, even though sometimes the Thunder ask him to be a 3-and-D guy, and that's absolutely not his role.
Not his game, yeah. No.
So there's a person who's willing to sacrifice, who's a young guy and is a 6'8" guard. You don't just give that guy away in a trade, right?
No.
Cleveland up 16, almost midway through the third. Over Orlando, the story there, of course, Jalen Suggs. And then this game getting interesting, Philly up 7 over the Knicks, 245 and counting to go in the second period.
What's the seeding between, what's the seeding of Cleveland and Orlando? Is that 4-5?
That's a 3-6, isn't it?
3-6. That's right, 3-6. I think that's a win in 4, win in 5 for Cleveland.
I don't know what we have here. Is it an injury?
Probably a spill.
Oh, someone just went into the crowd.
Yeah, there you go. Kyle Lowry, it looks like. Yep, there you go. Oh, there you go.
Dapped up a fan. Everybody's good?
Yep.
All right, this is not us doing this now. This is people doing this. People are turning this into a Thunder show. Draft-wise, who would you want OKC to get that is likely still available at their draft positions? I'll pull up some draft.
Is Filipowski there at 12?
I would think he's
debatable.
There at 12.
I would love Filipowski.
He's the guy that gets mentioned a ton. So I'm going to pull up some mock drafts.
Yeah, give me some big names.
All right.
Some guys I would know.
All right. 13 hours ago, Bleacher Report did a full 2-round mock. Okay. So they've got Detroit going number one, taking Alex Saar.
Yeah.
From Perth, 7'1", 216 pounds.
That's Olivier Saar's brother.
Has Washington Wizards taking Rob Dillingham, the guard from Kentucky, at number two.
Yep.
Portland taking Zachary Risacher.
Mm-hmm. From France.
6'8", wing guard forward. Has Reed Shepard going fourth overall to Charlotte from Kentucky. Has the Spurs taking Nikola Topic, who's a Serbian player, often compared to Goran Dragic, 6'6 wing. Has Toronto at 6 taking Stefan Castle from Connecticut, the shooting guard. Has Memphis at 7 taking Ron Holland, the
G League kid.
Yeah, G League guy. Where's he from, Texas or Arkansas?
He decommitted from Arkansas.
He was the one that was going to go to Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
At 8. Has Utah taking Dalton Knecht from Tennessee, who's terrific for the Vols this past season.
I like him a lot.
Only thing about him is he's 22 already. Kind of
for a team like the Thunder, it wouldn't hurt.
The Rockets taking Donovan Clingan, the UConn big at number 9.
I don't know how I feel about him. He would be good, but
only thing that
he can't shoot.
That's the Rockets pick via the Nets. Has Atlanta at 10 taking Matas Buzelis. This is what's interesting about the NBA. I'm going to ask you a question about this in a minute. He's from Lithuania.
Yeah.
At 11, as the Bulls taking Cody Williams, Jalen's brother.
Yeah.
And at 12, it has Oklahoma City taking Devin Carter, the guard from Providence. Okay, I'll be honest. I don't see that.
That makes no sense.
I don't see that.
Who is this draft board by? Is it ESPN?
Bleacher Report.
Well, that's why.
It's compared to... Jared McCain from Duke going 13. Kyle Filipowski from Duke going 14. I'm just going through a handful of guys. I've heard a lot of Filipowski. Isaiah Collier from USC, the point guard, going 15. Tristan Da Silva from Colorado going 16.
How tall is Filipowski? Is he 6'10"?
I'll give you his measurables.
I think he's 6'10 or 6'11".
He's 7 feet, 248 pounds, 20-year-old.
That just makes
sense.
People
compare him to Santi Aldama of the Grizzlies.
That's fine. It wouldn't hurt. It's another big.
Well, you're looking for a big who can just defend.
And have a body.
And help.
Where you can put someone next to Chet.
You need someone who can complement Chet. And they would love to find Arkansas Jalen Williams, but bigger.
Yeah, because he's just not big enough. He's like 6'8".
But man, like he played great last
night.
And
he did.
Like, you know, I mean, you walk away from... That's why I think they're going to run it back another year.
Yeah.
That's really what I think. I'm looking for another.
Yeah, think about a guy that's... Think about a 4-inch taller Jay Will. Probably a little bit more athletic, too, than Jay Will.
All right, I'm pulling up the Ringer's mock draft.
Probably better than Bleacher Report.
Sar 1, Stephen Castle 2 to Utah, Nikola Topic 3, Dalton Connect, and this one goes 4th to Detroit. Matas Buzelis from Lithuania goes 5 to Washington. Donovan Klingon goes 6 to the Spurs. Ron Holland goes 7 to
Portland.
Where do
they have Rasarcher?
Not yet. Reed Shepard goes 8 to Memphis in this draft. Reed Shepard in Memphis makes a lot of sense. Cody Williams in this draft goes 9th to Houston. That would make the Rockets-Thunder rivalry kind of interesting. Zachary Risacher goes 10 to the Bulls. Jacoby Walter, 11 to Atlanta. And in this draft, they have the Thunder going Rob Dillingham, the Kentucky guard.
I'd love that. I would.
Well,
if that happens, I'm happy.
Presti absolutely loves Kentucky guys. Shea, Cason Wallace. I mean,
well, he's good.
He loves Kentucky
guys. I'd love Dillingham. I'd take him happily. If he's there at 12, I kind of would rather them do that.
This draft has...
The good thing, like you said, with all the capital they have, they could trade for a big.
This draft, I'm looking to see. This draft has Kyle Filipowski falling all the way to 27 to Utah. His stock in the
shaky.
It fell late, yeah.
And that may be a thing that comes after the combine and just on draft night. Because, like, I bet the Thunder work out with him, and he maybe has like a really good workout, and he impresses them.
Yeah.
And he may just not.
This is also a draft, and I don't know if at 12 is where you do it, but if you told me the Thunder take one of these foreign swings again, I totally buy it.
Wouldn't shock me.
Because they still think they can get something out of Usman Jang.
They could, and all the capital they have, it's worth taking a risk. It's kind of a win-win situation, in my opinion. You either get just a situational role player, or you take a big swing. And I think either way you can do it, because with all the capital you have and all the talent you already have on your team, you can afford it, in my opinion. Most teams can't afford it. But, I mean, how many picks do they have in the next 5 years?
A bunch. They can afford to swing.
Enough to make a big trade if they need to. And so you're fine. They're in a very flexible spot that no other team is in.
The Sixers take a 4-point lead into the half against the New York Knicks. And then over in Cleveland, midway through the third, this one's starting to get away a little bit from Orlando. Cleveland leads 71-54, 5:36.
They're good
to go.
Garland, Jared Allen, they brought Strus in.
Oh, no, they're a good team.
Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
And then Donovan Mitchell on top. Yeah.
Mobley hasn't turned into the star that a lot of people thought he would be, but he's still a very good player.
Well, I think on a lot of other teams he would be a star.
Yeah, I buy that.
He does have a lot of competition where he's at. I mean, Jared Allen with him, and then a lot of other really good players.
Someone asked about Zach Edey. There was a conversation about Zach Edey to the Thunder.
I don't know why.
He doesn't really fit their mold. The Thunder really like guys who can stretch the floor, who can take the ball. The thing that Holmgren does that he doesn't get credit for, he did it a couple of times last night. That cat can get a rebound and get,
take it coast to coast pretty quick.
Quick. And that's something you have to defend.
Yep.
If you have a big who gets the ball and has to hand it to somebody, that lets defense get back.
Reset, yeah.
And the Thunder is really good about... And so are good teams about getting into transition.
Going, yeah.
It's the part about when people talk about Chet being too small. I get it. But where he's a matchup problem, he wasn't last night. New Orleans had a great plan last night. Valanciunas was able to stay on the floor. But the last time that those two teams played in the regular season, Valanciunas only played like 12 minutes. He couldn't stay on the floor because the Thunder got out in transition.
Yep.
And that's not his game.
No.
His game is get in the half court, bully him. And the Thunder were able to avoid that. Now, last night they really didn't, and they had to help a lot. And Valanciunas is a willing passer, good player. It led to some open shots. What's interesting in the NBA is games two, game three, game four, when all the adjustments happen.
Yep, right.
And you throw wrinkles at people.
Yeah, for sure.
Allen says OKC needs more elite talent outside of SGA and Chet. See, this is where
they have Dub.
I respectfully disagree. I think Jalen Williams, Santa Clara Jalen Williams, is going to be a superstar.
I think he's already a star.
I think he's going to be a top 10 to 15.
The people
NBA
that watch
player.
Enough of the Thunder know it's kind of obvious if you watch him play.
Yeah,
and the fact that there's a lot of games where he will have the ball in the last seconds and not Shea tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah,
it tells you the organization believes in him, and it tells you that everybody else in the league knows he's really good. And he was... I thought he should have been in the top three for most improved voting. He was not a finalist. I think he's like fourth or fifth on that list. But the year he's had, the improvement he's made, I just don't see it. I don't know. He's a star.
Hey, who do we have? Hey, caller.
Pretty good tonight. Looking like the contenders tonight.
What's that?
Looking pretty good.
Thank you. Who's this?
That's Will. The Sixers look like contenders tonight, don't you think?
Not tonight so far, no.
Not quite.
I mean, they've been up, what, 10 all game, and they go down, then it gets to 4, then they push it back out to 10. That's what a contender does.
They're up 4 at the half. So I don't know how.
Not, yeah, I don't know that's been the story of the half.
I don't know how good they can really feel right now, but sure.
Why not?
It goes 4-10, 4-10, 4-10.
Okay. Yeah, it's a big game for them, obviously. If they're going to.
Yep, they have to win.
They probably need to win tonight.
Yeah.
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 If we win tonight, you bring it back home, you win those two, you win the series.
Yeah.
I think they'll sweep the next round. Then you get Boston. You beat Boston in 7.
Yeah, you beat Boston in 7. Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Yep.
I can see that happening.
Easy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Will. Appreciate it, man.
They're not winning in 7. You're not winning in 7.
Yeah, it's...
That's not happening.
You don't know all the backstory on that guy. Although that guy's been pretty...
Who is he?
yeah. I'll tell you later. It's fascinating.
Sixers in 7 is crazy. That is not happening. Sixers in 7 is crazy. Bless his heart.
Yeah. let's see. Transpose it with Memphis. He says one thought, 1 through 5. Ja, SGA's a wash.
Ja's a what?
A wash, meaning they're the same player. I don't. I think SGA's better. He says GG Jackson's a wash with Dub. I don't agree with that either. Now I love Desmond Bane, and I love JJJ. Look, I think Memphis has a pick. They've got to do the right thing in the draft. But I love their team. I mean, obviously this year was a throwaway year for them. I think Memphis has a chance to be a top 4 or 5 team in the West next season. They're going to be a lot of fun, but I don't think you can say Ja and
the play style is not close.
Well, not only that, look, SGA's been dependable. Ja has not. I mean, that's the thing. Look, I think Ja's a great story. We sat courtside. Ja's great, but they've got to prove it next season. And then I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is a great player. He's got to take the next step. I love Desmond Bane. I like a lot of their team. I think their team's going to be a hell of a lot of fun, but they got to get on it because the West is just loaded, and it's going to still be loaded next year. I mean, I think Denver's about to win back-to-back titles, frankly.
Yeah.
The Thunder are coming. You see it. If the Pelicans get – and this is interesting with the Pelicans. We talked about this morning too. The Pelicans deal is, yes, it's very easy and accurate to go, man, if Zion could just be healthy. You're right. When Zion's healthy, they're great.
They're scary.
They're scary.
Yeah.
But he's never healthy. I don't know that at this point you can truly count on it. And so you have this quandary. You have to give him the big extension because you can't replace his talent.
No.
He's a 1-1 guy.
Yeah.
But when he's not available, you're not the same team, and you have so much of your roster, of your cap and everything eaten up with him. It's like this year with Memphis. When Ja's not available and so much of your cap is eaten up by Ja, you're not going to be very good.
No.
And so that's New Orleans' problem, is that, yes, Zion's great when he's healthy.
But he's not.
But he's not healthy much. And it's becoming kind of chronic at this point.
Yeah.
And Ja's been healthy. I mean, Ja's problem has been off the court. He's got to be a better player off the court. And because on the court, he's terrific.
He's great, yeah. I think off the court now, he'll be better, especially after all that's happened. I don't think he will take another risk like that, at least not for another 2-3 years.
I would hope not.
You would hope not, yeah.
Hey, caller, who's this?
Did it hang up?
I don't think so. Yeah.
It did.
I'm trying to see.
What are you on now? Settings?
No, it's on, I think.
Okay.
Best I can tell.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to plan to do these a little bit over the course of the playoffs. There's going to be some second round matchups that are going to be a blast to watch. So we'll have some fun with those. We'll get together and do this. I like talking about NBA. We have some NBA people that like us to talk about NBA, but we don't do it a whole lot in the mornings because we have the majority of the people that watch us in the morning do not want us to talk about the NBA, so we don't. But we'll do it some. Tyler and I, mostly a football show. All right, let me get you on Bluetooth. Hey, caller, who do we have? Hey, caller. Yeah, he's on.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. He can't hear it. Caller? Nope. Yeah, he's...
I'll try to call him. Yeah, do that. And go ahead and connect it.
Hey.
Click off of that. Let me see.
And in that case, I think there was somebody trying to call at the same time. That was the problem. Yeah, Alan says Ja's already led Memphis to the second round two consecutive seasons. Yeah, I mean, there's no questioning his on the court talent. He's a dynamic player. His deal is he's got to fix it off the court. He's got to be a better player off the court. He can't get in trouble again. He's got to hang out with. He's got to be smarter about the people that he hangs out with. Bottom line. That's bottom line. You mean to try to call that 609 number?
You can try it. Why are you on Google Call or whatever it's called?
It's what the guys at Vault recommended that I use for this. The other thing that works is Skype, but it sounds so funny.
Yeah. I don't know what that's about.
Here, we'll try this on the 609 number.
Yeah.
If you called me from a 609 number, I'm calling you back to see if it was my fault.
Hello?
Hey, I was trying to call you back.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was just trying to call in.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say, you know, the Sixers, I think, are looking really good out there. What do you think?
Yeah, we've been down this road. I appreciate the call. Thanks. Bless their hearts.
Not quite. Up four?
Well, it's
what are they up four?
It's a weird story. It's.
Oh, is that?
It's yeah.
I want to hear about it.
Yeah.
After, yeah.
Yeah, they've helped pay for your Christmas here recently.
So have they?
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, multiple times.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Very sweet of you. Go Sixers, right?
Like 8 times, yeah.
That's sweet. Go Sixers.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Not Embiid, though.
Fascinating. All right, like I said, we'll do this a little bit more as the playoffs get going. Round one tonight. We've got one more game later this evening, the Lakers and the Nuggets, and then some games Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we'll do something. Maybe we'll do something over the weekend. Maybe we'll do something on Sunday or something, and then we'll do a couple times a week, and then as it gets going, maybe we'll do some conference finals, NBA finals shows a little bit here on MPW with Chasing the Ring. So for Carson, I'm Neil. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll be back on Tuesday morning with Blue Sky Live. Talk about some football commitments for Ole Miss. Big day for Ole Miss. Henry Parrish Jr. transfers back to Ole Miss, and then Ole Miss gets a commitment from Jarkobe Hobson, the four-star safety out of Lake Cormorants. We'll talk about those things and more on Blue Sky Live here on MPW Digital. Until then, take care.